For Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead. What saith it? The word is nigh in thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same as the Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elijah says unto the Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Dear Lord, speak to our hearts. Unfold your word. Help us to not only, dear Lord, comprehend it, but apply it within our lives. Help us to examine our lives in light of what this says and what you would have for us in Christ's name. You know, you can see many examples of zeal if you turn on your television. In fact, if you just look around you. A Muslim straps on a vest that is a bomb, and he blows himself up and kills others with him in the name of Allah and the name of Islam. Folks, that takes real commitment, doesn't it? It takes zeal for a cause, for someone who believes in it. Zeal is described as defined as being a great energy or enthusiasm in the pursuit of a cause or of an objective. It is an emotion that is characterized by intense passion. Having a zeal means being dedicated to something that one thinks is important and puts forth strong and passionate efforts and response in their lives to carry through. Zeal is simply the eagerness, earnestness, or fervor in advancing a cause. But that cause can be good or bad. It can be focused on truth, or it can be misguided. And as we read through the Gospels, we see that the Jewish zeal was misguided. The Pharisees were very zealous. They were religious people to the core. But they were totally misguided. They claimed to know God, but they did not know him. As we read in Sunday school this morning, Jesus told them, you don't follow Moses. No, even though they were claiming that they followed Moses, he said, you don't follow Moses. He said, if you knew who Moses was and you followed Moses, you'd know who I am. But they were seeking to kill the Lord Jesus. Their zeal was founded in legalism. It was not in knowing God. Their zeal was in a dead religion, not spiritual truth. They promoted a cause that was cold and lifeless, a cause that made their hearts proud and arrogant. They had a knowledge of God in their history and in the Old Testament scriptures, but they didn't follow him. They sought God in an external way, by rules and rites, and they missed him. They became zealous for the letter of the law, and what they were actually doing was taking the law and taking the truths of God's word, perverting them to the point that it fed their pride. And they could walk down the street and have people look at them and say, "Look at that guy. Boy, is he religious. Oh, he's so close to God." And over the years, I've seen people like that. Let me tell you something, folks. When you see somebody who's outwardly so spiritual, and I'll say this, in independent fundamental Baptist circles, we have people, and again, I'm not trying to judge their hearts, but I see what I see going on around me in there. Praise God this and praise God this, and you know, I don't see it in their lives many times, all this praising God they talk about. And there's a real problem with that. It's not what we say with our mouth, it's what we live that determines our spiritual condition and our true commitment to the Lord. You see, they perverted the knowledge of God. They changed it into a false religion. And let me just tell you something. Even a religion and that is based upon the Bible and upon biblical truths that pervert that truth and direct it into building up the person before men, that's a false religion. And we see that all around us. Their pride is manifested in their self-righteous displays before others to make themselves look good. You've heard me say this many times in this church. There's a lot of people in churches today, sitting in pews today, and I'm talking about, I can't talk about the other churches, they'll have to deal with themselves, but I'm talking about in independent fundamental Baptist churches that sit there to feed their own pride. It's the stage that they use to strut on so folks can see them. I know, I pastored one of those churches, and I've seen it in several others that I have actually, God's used me to plant here in the state of Utah. You see, we are very capable of misdirecting our zeal toward useless, also useless religious activities. I hope you don't see that passing out these tracts and this tract evangelism is useless, because it's very important. It's something we have not emphasized in this church in a long, long time. And yet we've got tracts all over the church. And the thing that hit me one day, I said, you know what? They're the same tracts that were there a month ago or 2 months ago. They're not being used. Sitting on that table, they're worthless. We need to get out and use them. We need to get them into the public. Sometimes we get trapped by our own zealousness. We replace our relationship with the Lord by our righteous activity. And we end up trying to earn our salvation and our reward by showing how zealous we are. And let me just tell you something, folks. God looks on the heart. He knows our hearts. He knows why we do what we do. And there's a lot of stuff done in Christ's name that he hadn't got anything to do with. Many times people fool themselves with this outward profession of knowing Christ and being this wonderful Christian person. And by the way, you understand, I'm not making fun in any way at all of sincerity and a person who really loves the Lord and is seeking to serve him in all their lives, have given their lives to him. What I'm talking about is a hypocrite who stands up and says one thing and actually is something else. To be valid, one's outward profession of Christ must reflect truly from what is in our heart and the way we live. That's what enriches our lives. This is what brings upon us the blessings of Almighty God. This is what God blesses. This is what pleases Him. And this is what He uses. Here the Jews had a false zeal. They had a false zeal. Being religious does not please God. They had a religion that bared the name of God, but had outward works that could be seen before others. But it complemented their own self-righteousness. It was rooted in pride. You say, Pastor, you're really laboring the point. I really am. Because I want each of us to understand that that can certainly happen to each of us. We're not above being susceptible to this kind of thinking. It's outwardly easy to feign spirituality by religious acts. But it's a different matter when we honor God's truth and honor Him. And by the way, there's an element that the scribes and Pharisees did not have that is paramount in the life of a true believer. What do you think that is? Somebody tell me, what do you think it is? What is one thing that you find in the life of a true believer, one who sincerely serves God and loves Him with all their heart? It's the opposite of pride. It's humility. It lifts Christ up, not me. The only real and valid righteousness is God's righteousness, which means being done, which is means doing what is right. That's what righteousness is. You can only be right doing things God's way. The psalmist says, "Teach us the number of our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That wisdom he's talking about is truth, God's truth. You see, they were willingly ignorant. You say, they were willingly ignorant? Yes, they were. They had the Old Testament. They could have easily read the Torah. But they didn't read the Torah. You know what they read? The Talmud and the Mishnah, which were the writings of the rabbis. How many people across our country today are reading somebody's book they wrote instead of reading the Word of God? And I get them all the time. You know, you read somebody's book, now they become an expert on everything. So they're writing, calling me down and correcting me. And actually what they're doing, they're attacking the Word of God. That's the point. The Bible says in verse 4, of Romans chapter 10, that Christ is the end of the law for the righteousness of everyone that believeth. What does that mean? Do you understand that the law reveals what's sin and what's not? Those who believe and by faith accept Christ Jesus and His righteousness, it is an end to the law. That means the law no longer has any hold over them. Do you understand that? If I'm doing what's right and I'm living according to God's word and I'm honoring Him in my life, the law has nothing. The law that condemns me has no effect upon me whatsoever. It has no hold on me. Because the only way the law can have hold on anybody is if they're breaking the law. Do you understand that? Moses described the righteousness of the law as a man of faith in Jesus Christ and living Him. In other words, the man who is righteous, the man who's right, he'll live for Christ. He'll do what's right. Verse 6 and 7, and I'll be honest with you, I don't have time. It's 11:58. Nobody, I haven't seen anybody looking at your watch, so I'll tell you what time it is, okay? It's 11:58. It's 11:59 now. Just switched over. I don't have time to continue this message, and I'm not going to keep you in labor with this, but I'll continue it next week. But this is very important, that we understand this particular chapter in the book of Romans, because it tells us some very important things. It deals with salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 present to us the means of the gospel. If a man will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God's raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then in verse 11 says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That word, and I'll explain that next week, but to be ashamed means that when we stand before, and most people say, well, that means you're ashamed of sharing the gospel. No, that's not what it means. Though it can be easily understood as that, what it means is that when we stand before Almighty God in the judgment, when the rapture comes, we won't be ashamed. We'll be taken with Him. We won't be left here. And when we stand before that, before our Lord, face to face, as we sang this morning in Sunday school, we can stand there in the complete assurance and confidence that as a child of God, I'm at peace with my Savior, and that He approves of me because I have trusted in Him. I have honored Him by my faith. I could go on. There's a lot of misunderstandings have been found within this chapter. But I hope that we'll, next week, that we'll be able to look at it a little closer, and maybe God can speak to our hearts. Do you understand that's what I want? Why do I want it? When the scribes and Pharisees, as we read in Sunday school this morning, they accused Jesus. But He said, the doctrine that I preach is not mine, it's my Father's. It's not mine, it's my Father's. Do you understand what that does? And what that means? That means we stand before Almighty God to be judged, worthy or not worthy, based upon this book and what it says, not upon what some man says. And I thank God for men who will stand up and preach and teach the truth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for a few minutes together. We've covered some important things this morning, dear Lord. We've challenged our congregation who is here this morning. Many of them are not here. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would have Your desire in each of our hearts, that we would seek You. As we have a hymn of invitation, Lord, if there's someone here this morning, never put their faith and trust in You, never made that public profession of faith and said, yes, I'm a sinner, dear Lord. Would You save me? Would You forgive my sins? Lord, if there's someone here this morning like that, may they be bold enough this morning. May they be concerned enough for their eternal life and their time in eternity. May they love the God that sacrificed Himself on that old cross for them. May they be grateful enough to say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And may they walk down this aisle and say, Pastor Abrams, I'm coming this morning, trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, thank You, dear Lord, for what You do in the hearts of each one here. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Andy.
Number 249. Let's stand. Just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, and O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, side riches healing of the mind, flee all I need in thee, I find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
My prayer is that God's word will continue to work in our hearts. Let's pray for our church. We really need. Perhaps we've seen one person say it here in the last 3 months. And almost immediately, the devil jumped on him, and he's got a job now that he has to work every Sunday morning. Do you think that's by chance? That just happened? And he's a man who wants to be in church and can't. We've got people who can be in church and don't. And let's pray for Scott. And let's pray one for another. We need to have our souls set on fire, as that song we sang this morning. We need our church to be set on fire. And I'm not going to give up. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how much difficulty we face. I don't care how bad the devil fights us. We have a loving and powerful Savior. And if we'll be true to Him, we'll see Him work. Dear Lord, dismiss us now. Thank you for each one of us. Even thank you for Ed visiting with us this morning. Lord, give him traveling mercies as he drives his truck out on the road. See him safely back to his home. Thank you, Lord, for his testimony that he was in church this morning. What an encouragement that is to each of us. In Christ's name, amen.
All right.